This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Yet another prominent Honduran activist has been murdered, adding to the ongoing grim tally of slain leaders. The body of 49-year-old Lesbia Yaneth Urquia was found in a garbage dump in a town outside the capital, Tegucigalpa, late last week. Her death comes 4 months after the most high-profile Honduran activist, Berta Cáceres, was killed. Thousands of people marched in Urquia's funeral, mourning her loss. This latest incident comes on the heels of a Guardian newspaper expose of the existence of a so-called hit list that is said to exist in the government, naming prominent activists for murder. Over the past 5 years, more than 100 people have been killed in Honduras in relation to the opposition of dams and mining and logging projects. The United States, which has strong military ties to the Honduran government, says it's looking into the ongoing human rights violations. Joining me now to discuss all of this is Suyapa Portillo. She's an assistant professor of Chicano, Latino-Latina Transnational Studies at Pitzer College, and she has a blog on the Huffington Post. Welcome to the program, Suyapa.
Thanks for having me.
So first, let's talk about who this activist was who was killed late last week. Lesbia Yaneth Urquia, not as well known as Berta Cáceres. As far as you know, what sort of activism was she involved in? What kind of motivation can we imagine her killer had?
Well, Urquia was a member of the COPIN. She was probably not as famous as Berta Cáceres, but definitely was a local leader. She had just participated in Western Honduras in the Department of La Paz in Marcala on a consultation about land. And we know that she had been there. And, you know, she's a local activist, someone that came up through the leadership of people in COPIN. And really someone
and
that...
And remind our audience what COPIN is.
So the Council on Indigenous, the Council of Indigenous Peoples of Honduras is COPIN, the organization that Berta Cáceres led. COPIN's job or work has been really to improve the lives of indigenous people throughout the area. Most of them are campesinos or farm workers, and their job has been to basically train people and develop leadership, right, to organize in the area against sort of these concessions being given to foreign corporations, but also elite Hondurans. So what we're seeing is, for example, since 2009 in the coup d'etat, there's been over 300 concessions that have been granted to both local and international elites to do extraction projects, that is mining, ecotourism, you know, dams and water exploitation. So a lot of the communities that are being affected are the small communities that are perceived to be in the way of these development projects. Hmm.
And so it's just another horrific, you know, death. Lesbia Yaneth Urquia's body was found in a garbage dump outside Tegucigalpa. Is there a pattern to these killings?
Well, there's a couple of patterns that are right that are sort of coming up for me. One is the patterns of the 1980s death squad methods, right? People would appear days later, mutilated, tortured in some way. They would appear in trash dumps or on the sides of the road. You know, so those kind of patterns are consistent with sort of paramilitary training and death squad training. The other pattern that's surfacing is sort of the feminicide pattern, and I think COPIN has also called it a feminicide, right? And that the term really speaks to the murdering of women, but also the targeted murdering of women, right? So that women have become this social group that's affected by this dynamic and this type of homicide. So both these patterns, Honduras has one of the largest rates of feminicide. And the danger here in these patterns that I'm talking about is that we begin to look at this as some random violence, you know, or some sort of crime of passion, when in reality we're seeing protracted, you know, almost genocidal level of attacking people that are in resistance to these projects or in resistance to the politics of the government.
Let's talk about the Guardian newspaper's expose on this existence of this hit list. Basically, they spoke to a person who was a former elite soldier in Honduras and the Honduran military, who says that he had seen this hit list. He's remained unnamed right now, but that he had seen a hit list and that Berta Cáceres' name was on it. What could this mean? And does it sound believable to you?
No, this is really believable to me. In fact, there's a news blog in Honduras called Se Libre, C as in the letter C dash Libre, and they had published that there was a list out there, and they actually had people on that list that I know, and some of them were scholars, some of them were, you know, so that this notion of a hit list has been out for a couple of years now. Basically, anybody that has opposed, military action, has opposed paramilitaries, has opposed the politics of Juan Orlando Hernández, and then particularly the capitalists, right? These extraction projects like African Palm, ecotourism, mining, basically all those folks, would be seen in the list. And we've been seeing the targeting of some of these leaders, right? Margarita Murillo, who was a leader in the North Coast, had survived the 1980s torture and violence, and then suffered while she was working in her land. 2 years ago, Urquía, Berta Cáceres, and then all these other activists and leaders. So this is very believable to us, because we've been seeing this over the years, right? Scholars have been on this list. There's been two leaders from the Autonomous University. A lot of labor leaders are being targeted.
So Yampa, the expose identified this person with a fake name, Rodrigo Cruz. Cruz says, I was 100% certain that I am 100% certain that Berta Cáceres was killed by the army. So the Honduran military receives direct military training by the United States. I mean, so out in the open is this that the U.S. military posts photos of their two sets of soldiers training one another, or the U.S. rather training Honduran soldiers. If the list exists and is in the hands of the Honduran army, what culpability does the U.S. military play in this, knowing, of course, what we know about the U.S. role in the 2009 coup that put into place the current Honduran government?
Well, since 1954, Honduras and the U.S. have a bilateral military agreement, and that agreement has only been expanding, and clearly there's plenty of proof that in the 1980s, the U.S. operated out of Honduras, training contras against both the FSLN in Nicaragua and the FMLN in El Salvador. Honduras is a critical place for the Honduran military. So, of course, we have seen the direct links. Honduras had, over nine military U.S. military bases in the 1980s. They currently still have agreements there. So not only has the military trained Honduran military, but also the FBI has been training Honduran police, right? And so I want to say that Honduran police is one of the most corrupt entities in the country, right? So to have the FBI come and do training, I mean, this is beyond training. There needs to be a total, cleansing of the police department, period, right? This is a corrupt system, as we see. So the guys that were picked up for, the five men that were picked up for the murder of Berta Cáceres were definitely ex-military men who were working for DESA Corporation. What's really critical here is that there's a link between, once the coup d'etat happens, there's a link between the military, then the military police that was created in 2014, right, after Juan Orlando takes power, and the elite, the landed elite, right? So that the 1980s Cold War has trained not only military, but they've also trained local elite, to exercise these processes.
So then
right?
what we're seeing happening today has this grand historical context that I appreciate you bringing up. And so the United States is saying that it is going to investigate the allegations. Ambassador James Nealon said that they're extremely disturbing, as if it was news, that the Honduran military was involved in these human rights violations. Do you believe that the U.S. is really going to investigate the situation?
Well, like in the 1980s and the situation in El Salvador, the United States only investigated after 1989. So that means that for 10 or 11 years, people, over 80,000 people were murdered. The U.S. Congress has actually been, is very adept at ignoring these level of violence. And we don't want another El Salvador and another Guatemala in Honduras. What I think is important is for citizens to demand of their local elected officials that this really happened, that they truly investigate, that we need a commission or a setup that includes organizations and affected people to look at what's going on, right? So including the people from El Copin in the investigations, right? To be able to hear both sides, because when the U.S. Congress goes there, the U.S. Embassy will only talk to the government. It's not like they talk to organizations of affected people. They don't talk to LGBT organizations. They don't talk to campesino organizations. And that's, I think, one of the critical things for U.S. Congress to do. It's like, I want to see them have a delegation of Congress people to Honduras to not only talk to the government, but to also talk to the affected people, the organizations that are seeing this. Otherwise, it's going to be this very cleaned up report that will lack context and will lack understanding of what's happening in the country. So the U.S. Congress needs to not only stop aid, but really restrict their the DEA from activity in Honduras, right? They're killing people in communities.
The Drug
that
Enforcement
are perceived-
Agency, right? In the name of the drug war, the U.S. agency is there.
What is the FBI? I mean, this is our tax dollars in the U.S. paying FBI, to go down to Honduras. This is a domestic agency. I would like to see the U.S. truly retract from what they're doing in Honduras and let the Honduran government and an international commission, as Copin is asking, come in and do a proper investigation that would look at both sides, that would look at the illegality of the Honduran government, right? That would look at sort of the crimes committed by police and military police and
now,
military.
Now, Suyapa, Congressman Hank Johnson and John Conyers have sponsored a bill that basically would cut off U.S. military aid to Honduras in light of these ongoing killings of environmental and indigenous activists like Lesbia Urquia and Berta Cáceres. How important is this bill? Is this something that you would urge the audience interested in Honduran rights to support?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to block all military aid to corrupt governments, including Honduras, right? I mean, this is something that has been sort of a traditional liberal response to what's happening in the country. But what's really important, and so, people should support this, right? But also encourage that they demand that the Honduran government bring an international commission in to not only investigate the murder of Berta Cáceres, but to really look at the illegality of the country, right? I want to see U.S. Congress people step into Honduras and talk to the affected people. I want to see a delegation of Honduran Congress people like it happened in El Salvador in 1989 after the 6 Jesuit priests were killed. Because if we don't have Congress people stepping into Honduras and seeing what a war zone they've created, with either by ignoring what's going on, right, in 2009, or by not demanding that people like Hillary Clinton be held accountable for what's happening. So I encourage even more than that. Yeah, let's stop aid to Honduras, but let's also bring our affected, let's bring Congress people, talk to the affected people down there. Let's push this envelope because we cannot afford another El Salvador and Honduras in Central America. We cannot afford another Guatemala. We're talking about 200,000 people killed in the region. We're talking about an exacerbated rate of migration that is, you know, people are fleeing for their lives. And so I would like to see Congress take it a step further and come to the country and not just hang out with the U.S. Embassy and whoever they tell them to talk to, but to really come and talk to the affected right. people, to the campesinos.
Well, Suyapa, I want to thank you so much for, as always, sharing your analysis on this situation. I'm sure we'll have you back on the program in the future. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for covering.
Suyapa Portillo is an assistant professor of Chicano, and Latino-Latina transnational studies at Pitzer College, and she also blogs at the Huffington Post. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.